verses 1:3-11. I thank my God at every memory of you, always praying with joy in every prayer of mine for you all, because of your sharing in the good news from the first day until now. I am sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, for you are all partakers of grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the good news. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Messiah Yeshua. Now this I pray, that your love might overflow still more and more in knowledge and depth of discerning, in order to approve what is excellent, so that in the day of Messiah you may be sincere and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Yeshua, the Messiah, to the glory and praise of God.
Amen. It is good to be with you here at the Lord's table for one last time. I want to say a special thank you, Archbishop Justin, for being with us this morning. You might not know this, he might not know this, but when we were heading off to the States, one of the young people who was served in a youth ministry for was a friend of Luca. And you must have given him a copy of your book, Against the Tide and Toward the Kingdom. And he gave me that copy, after he'd read it, of course. And although we only had one bag each to take across to the States, that book made its way in my carry-on. And I read that book. And I wasn't following Jesus in the Anglican tradition at the time. It wasn't on the radar at all. But anyway, I had read it and then watched with interest when you were called to be bishop. And I would say, I don't think Kara and I would have seen an open door to come back to New Zealand to follow and serve Jesus in the Anglican tradition were it not for you and for Ali as well. So thank you for your sacrifice and your friendship and being here this morning. That's meaningful, very much so. It's good to have you with us. Also, I want to acknowledge Jendi. Jendi is Archdeacon for Mission and Ministry in the diocese here. But more than that, Jendi is a friend with John, Clara, and Zach, part of the Peninsula Parish. And you know, you've met multiple times. We've shared lots of pizza meals, haven't we? And opening God's Word together and sharing with your family. And Jendi was up here for the Synod of the Hui Amarangi, Tikanga Māori. Partner in the gospel here, and so she stayed on, so she'd be with us this morning. And of course, for each of you as well, it's the Lord that gathers us together at God's table to participate in this extraordinary good news and being family together this morning. Joseph Banks was a botanist on board the Endeavour on the first voyage to Aotearoa with Captain Cook in 1769. And on the 17th of January, they were anchored in Queen Charlotte Sound. And he was awakened just before dawn. And he wrote the following in his journal. He wrote, "This morn I was awaked by the singing of the birds ashore, from whence we are distant not a quarter of a mile. The numbers of them were certainly very great, who seemed to strain their throats with emulation, perhaps. Their voices were certainly the most melodious wild music I have ever heard, almost imitating small bells, but with the most tunable silver sound imaginable, to which maybe the distance was no small addition. On inquiring of our people, I was told that they've observed them ever since we've been here, and that they begin to sing at about 1 or 2 in the morn and continue till sunrise." What an amazing experience and description. Joyful
singing in the dark of night, a symphony of song to herald the coming of the new day and to awaken those who were asleep. The dawn chorus, I think, is a great description and metaphor for what the church is created to be. A joyful symphony bearing witness to the coming of God's new day to those still living in darkness. A sound and a song of hope. And we get a sense of this reality in our reading today from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It's not a lectionary reading, I took liberties. It's a reading really meaningful to me. Paul knows too well the darkness of the night. He's in jail facing death for his faith in Jesus. And yet, as he writes to this church that he helped plant, his letter rings with thanksgiving, with joy, and prayer. It's filled with hope. And it's a beautiful encouragement and prayer for the church. And it's the encouragement and prayer that I want to leave with you on this, my final Sunday with you. And Paul begins by thanking God for the people, for their partnership in the gospel. That's what we're about, isn't it? Partnership in what God is doing. This love of God that seeks to redeem, to restore, to heal, to forgive. And amazing that God that would leave power and glory and privilege and Jesus humbling himself to give up all of that, to come in humility and weakness, to enter our fragility and brokenness and the pains of the world, to come and find us, to reveal the depths of God's love. That love of God, though, that would experience rejection, religious power, political power, betrayal, suffering, great joy, good food. And it would go and it would show us God's love and ultimately experience, be with us and experience the fullness of that suffering and rejection of God. And yet in that great resurrection that we're celebrating still in the season of Eastertide, we see the power and the love and the life of God overcoming all that would separate us from God. The coming of God's reign on earth as in heaven to redeem, to reconcile, to heal, and to call people to turn from the worship of created things back to the worship of their Creator. And the desire for God to partner with humanity and those who have experienced and witnessed this great victory of God to be ambassadors of that, to sing and to share that to the places where God calls them to be. Partnership in the good news, partnership in the gospel. And Paul says, I mean, a partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want you to think, this is, yes, it's the church in Philippi, but it's made up of people. And each of those people had a first day. And Paul is remembering that first day as he gives thanks, and he must have thought about Lydia. Lydia, the rich business person, who would have had power and means and yet knew there was something more. And she was seeking and looking for this God and encounters Paul and Timothy down in the riverbank where she's gathered in prayer with others. And here's the good news of Jesus. Finds that thing that is life. Something worth giving her life to that goes beyond money and status. And turns and responds in faith and uses her considerable means to partner with God's work in the world for the gospel and invites and opens her doors to gracious hospitality, not just to those who could repay, but to those who can't. And Paul remembers that first day of partnership in the gospel with Lydia. And I bet he remembered the first day of partnership in the gospel with the young slave girl the young girl who had a gift. Many of men had thought they could monetize her gift and take advantage of her powerlessness and used her for financial gain. And yet she had an encounter with the power and the presence and the good news of God redeeming, freeing, healing and restoring. She's liberated. And she becomes a part of this new gospel Jesus community. And Paul gives thanks for that first day of partnership. And I bet when he was given thanks as well, he thought about the Philippian jailer. Remember, they'd been beaten, Paul and Silas, and they're thrown in prison. And is there a darker place facing death and in there? And there's that great earthquake, remember, while Paul and Silas are singing psalms. Again, this joy in this reality of the praiseworthiness of God, even in the darkness. A little bit of a dawn chorus going on there, and it triggers this great earthquake. And they're freed and the walls come down. And there's this Philippian jailer who has given his life to the service of Caesar, to the empire. And he knows that if he's not responsible for what he has been entrusted with and those prisoners escape, he will suffer the consequence of death. He's kind of freaked out. What must I do? Paul and Silas share the good news of Jesus. Turn your life back. Come under the rule of Jesus, who was Lord, not Caesar. And be baptized. Imagine the serving these two different types of kingdom. One where you experience death for your mistakes, the other one where the ruler would die for you to restore you, to forgive you. And he goes home and he shares that news with his entire household. And the whole family are baptized and become part of this new creation community. They share in the death of Christ. And so surely they will share in his resurrection life and the life to come. And Paul must surely have been thinking about that first day of partnership in the gospel. Amazing. And do you see what's happening here when God becomes present and people turn back to worship God, to love God and to love neighbor? Do you notice this sort of community that's forming? Oh my goodness. The rich businesswoman, the poor, lowly, formerly slave girl, and this brute who was wielding the sword, and now they're around the table together? Well, that would have stood out. But that's the effect of the gospel, isn't it? It transforms individual lives, but more than that, it tears down the walls that divide and creates this incredible new family, this new community, singing this song of God's coming new day, even in the darkness. And Paul gives thanks for that and with joy. And we've also been partners in this great work of God. We're partners in the gospel. Do you know this year it's 150 years. I used to remember the date. I don't know. I think it might be September the 29th. It's 150 years since a group of followers of Jesus in the Anglican tradition decided we want to establish Anglican worship in this city. And we're going to partner with God's work in this city and covenant together and gather at the Lord's table and share the faith and the good news and be a witness and sing this dawn chorus here in Papaiwa. Amazing. And we're part of this ongoing fellowship. And Kara and I had a first day with you in partnership as well. I remember the first Sunday we were here, and I see Elaine there and Andrew, and we received incredible hospitality from you both. And I know there are so many in this pew who have received the hospitality of Andrew and Elaine, and the place at the table. And it's an amazing thing because they love Jesus and we love Jesus and we're called and we're going and we're bearing witness to that. We sat at the table. Thank you both. Thank you both. What an incredible gift that our lives are connected. We came home one day. I think we'd been out, maybe at Mitre 10 buying a rubbish bin or something like that, as you do. And we came home and there were gift baskets all over the front porch. It was from you. It was an expression of love, of God's generosity embodied in you, given to us as an expression, partnership in the gospel. Thank you. We give thanks to God for each of you. Other parts of partnership, you run the risk if you name a few things by exclusion, then you're kind of stuffed. But look, a couple of things that came to mind, and it's so broad, it shouldn't. But you know, the joy and the privilege that you get to actually dedicate a baby, to baptize, and Charlotte and Meg and the family, and you know, young women, knowing this more and wanting to know more about Jesus. And meeting week after week just to share about that. And the privilege that it is to baptize this young person, sharing in the death of Jesus. It's an inward work, but there's this outward form that we do it. And as we share in Christ's death, so surely we will rise and share in his resurrection, that the grave and sin and death doesn't get the last word. The privilege of that with Jeremiah and siblings. Hospital visits, to be with people in pain and suffering and that uncertainty. Very early on in the piece, I got to visit and to anoint Elizabeth Orton. And I hadn't known her, and she was in her final days, and getting to meet Gerald after that. And those friendship and those lives connected. And of course, who knew, but Gerald used to be vicar of Whakatipu Parish. You know, this little fabric of life and bless and be with his beloved bride and to connect with him. See our interns here, incredible work that Davis and Ben and Winnie do. And that this new partnership, the first day, various interns, we're going to do both, I see last year too, and Tessa and others, the joy of that. So many gifted young people in this parish. It's extraordinary, taking the presence of God out into neighborhoods, into schools, and through dance. I'm looking around, honestly, there's a couple more out there. You are gifted young people, and I had the privilege of partnering with you in the gospel, and you'll continue to do that, and our lives are joined. And Cara, she's got one more night for Cara under ministry hat in part of Jendi's team. Yeah, that partnering in the gospel. You know, the gospel, the place where that primarily is called to happen, is in the homes. And tomorrow night, Alison and Kim have invited Cara to share a workshop to come alongside and partner with parents to think about the ways that we become these primary disciple makers and live into this great story of Jesus in our homes. Just this week, I squeezed in a couple of extra coffees. I don't think I've got much room for more coffee, but I always find space. It's a separate stomach. There's a science in there or something, but squeezed in because there was a young man who the answers that he had previously had in life were coming up short. And we got connected to each other and just sat around and talking big things, meaningful things. Sort of said, well, unless your answer is equally good news for the powerless in Gaza or Sudan or the suffering, that I don't think it's very good news. So if you've got a philosophy, I challenge you to pray us. It's got to be good news for everyone if it's good and beautiful and true. We started around there and just got to talk about Jesus, that expression of God's love, and I might try to squeeze one more before we go with him. Partnership in what God's doing in the world, and we're called to be a part, and it's a privilege. And look, it's name, but perhaps this isn't the ending that we'd all hoped. And yeah, there's been, among those incredible joys that are absolutely there, there are some disappointments and difficulties that are there as well. But let's not let the gift of this season be ruined. Let's not lose the beautiful moments. And 12 months ago, I didn't know any of you. And now I do. And I wouldn't have had any of those moments. And yet our lives are entwined. We're a part of this fabric of God's great story. And when I think of you, I will give thanks, like Paul did for those people. All is gift and all is grace. And it's a gift to have been with you all. and to gather one more time at the table. Our lives are bound together. Paul then prays and he continues. And he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to see it through to completion till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a special verse for me. I'd tried to find life in a very broad path, and it hadn't found life. It was anything but. But I've been exploring back this faith that had been sown into me and the baptism I'd received as a child. And as I was exploring, there was going through a particularly tough time at work, and there was a work colleague of mine. Do you know God's in your workplace? Got there before you did, will outlast you there, and God cares about your work and your workplace and the people around you. And this very perceptive woman who I worked with, I don't think I'd shared what I was going through, but she had obviously been praying and was attentive to it. She came up to my desk one morning, and she sort of went bright red, sort of embarrassed, and she had this brown paper bag, and she said, I hope you don't think I'm nuts, but I wanted you to have this. And she gave me this brown paper bag, and she just scarpered bright red. But she was faithful to the prompting of the Spirit, and I opened that little book, and it was a book of daily Bible devotionals. And I opened the passage for that day, and it was Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to see it through completion. And that word to someone carrying shame and guilt and brokenness and a sense of loss, to hear that God had begun would actually heal and restore and put back what was broken. Great news. The dawn chorus of hope in the darkness. And I went along later that week. There was an older man who had committed to opening the Bible with me, to sitting down and reading Scripture and hearing this great testimony, the story of God working through people. And that day when we met up, he opened up, and what did he go to? Give you one guess. Andrew, I'll give you a chocolate afterwards. Some in the pocket. It was Philippians 1:6. Fascinating, God working through a workplace and someone that cared about me and work, someone working through someone committed to opening the Scripture and sharing the story of God with me. And I turned up at church on Sunday, and there's the youth pastor preaching. Do you want another guess at what he was preaching on? Yeah, Philippians 1:6. A couple of weeks after, there was a woman, Rochelle, a very gifted painter, and she was painting over the sermon series as the Scriptures were preached. And it was this painting of, I think it's just down on maybe sort of Paikakariki Way, on that coastline. And she painted, it's this sunrise coming up over the beach, this breaking in, this dawn of this new day. And it just connected with that passage. And I went up after and said, would you sell it to me? And she said, no, it's not for sale. Anyway, about a year after, she rang me back and said, are you still interested in that painting? It's for sale. My great aunt had recently died and left a small amount of money, and it was enough to purchase that painting. And I said, would you write that verse on the bottom of it? This great dawn chorus of hope and joy in the darkness of God's new day breaking in. But I found out a little later on as I was going that the gospel impacts individual lives, but it's not actually about the individual. It's that you there, who began a good work in you. See, I found out English doesn't have a good cover for that word. You know, there's tēnā koe, tēnā korua, tēnā koutou, singular to in plural. See, in America down the south, they do have one. It's you, y'all, and all y'all. And this is the all y'all. He who began a good work in all y'all is faithful to see it through to completion. Isn't it an incredible thing? It's this brand new creation community, not just the individual. And as I saw, there's those individual lives that had a first day, and yet what is actually happening here is that God's work is to restore human relationships as well as the one with God, to create this new family. And it's incredible. It's a reconciling work to share in Christ's death, to be part of a body and to belong together. So I love in our tradition, we sort of receive our baptism as it comes down. A final sermon preached at seminary, there was Jim Singleton, incredible preacher, preached that he said, "You're turtles on a fence post." He said, because if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know it did not get there by itself. And in the church, we are all turtles on a fence post. None of us get there by ourselves. We are baptized into a body and we belong together. And so there is no I in church. New creation community, a body. Friends, we're all part of this incredible dawn chorus. A joyful song in the darkness, proclaiming the breaking in of God's new day. And each part of the song is needed, of different parts and voices to play in that. But we know what happens in the dawn chorus when parts are taken away. It's lessened. We need the restoring work. To bring those voices out and to sing that symphony and that song. To sing it. God's new day is here and it's coming and will come in full. And he who began that good work in you is faithful to see it through to completion. God began the work and God will complete the work. So in the midst of the work, we pray and look to God in the midst of it. And then we partner with God in that work. And so like Paul for the church in Philippi, that's my prayer for us, for all y'all. I pray for all y'all that your love for each other would grow more and more. That you would discern what's superior. But Paul's sort of talking about this. We're all going to serve somebody or something. Give our lives to something that is worthwhile. Serve the Lord Jesus. Bring all of your life under that reign. Choose what is superior. Or as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. All of those other things that we can lose sleep over will be added to us. But discern what's superior. That's my prayer. For us all. I want to finish off just by saying, I do thank God for each of you and for the collective you all. Our lives are entwined and it's a beautiful thing. I ask you to pray for me and for the family and for the season ahead. I ask for forgiveness for the things that I got wrong, for the good that I failed to do. And I also want to assure you of my forgiveness for anything that was done as well. So I want to finish by blessing you all. It's interesting, Andrew, we didn't speak beforehand, but started with this in the psalm. So friends, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. That the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord turn the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. That be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think an appropriate response might be to participate in that song of creation and new creation. To lift our voices as a dawn chorus, even amidst darkness, to say that the Lord's day has begun. It is breaking in and will come in full. So if Lucas and the team could come forth and lead us in praise to this God of love.